From Public Radio International, I'm Deborah Amos. This is a special edition of America Abroad, American Power and Persuasion, a discussion with Secretary of State Hillary Clinton and Defense Secretary Robert Gates. This hour, the two secretaries make their first, a rare, joint appearance before a live audience at the George Washington University's Listener Auditorium. This program is produced in partnership with the George Washington University's Elliott School of International Affairs and School of Media and Public Affairs and CNN. It is hosted by CNN's Chief International Correspondent, Christian Amanpour, and the Director of George Washington's Public Affairs Project and CNN's Special Correspondent, Frank Sesno.
Well, let me welcome you both to the George Washington University. Thank you for being here, Christian.
So welcome. Welcome to you both. We've been sort of searching back in the annals of recent history, and we can't really find an example such as this, where two sitting secretaries of state in charge of some of the most important briefs at the moment are sitting on stage in an interview such as this. I want to know, if you can tell us, what precisely was agreed between the U.S., Iran, and the other powers sitting at that table in Geneva? Did they actually agree to ship out their low-enriched uranium?
Well, there were three agreements. One, that there would be inspections, and those inspections are going forward, and they're going forward quickly, of the undisclosed site that the President and Prime Minister Brown and President Sarkozy announced a little over a week ago in Pittsburgh. They agreed that, in principle, the Iranians would ship out their LEU for reprocessing to be returned for their research reactor. There will be a team of experts meeting to determine exactly how that will be carried out within 10 days. And they agreed that there will be another meeting, which means that this process doesn't just drag on without any, you know, continuity. So we think that on those three big issues, this was a worthwhile meeting, but as the President has said, and I and others have also made clear, this is not by any means a stopping point. There is much more to be done. We expect much more. We know that the Iranians need to understand that they have run a nuclear program that has violated international rules and Security Council resolutions, which they have to bring, you know, into compliance, making it more transparent and accountable. So we have work ahead of us, but I think that on balance, what came out of the meeting in Geneva was positive.
Do you think the Iranians actually want to resolve this?
We don't know yet. We don't know.
You think this is credible?
Yeah, I agree with Hillary. I think the jury's out. And what we have to do is keep them to tight enough deadlines and specific enough requirements that we have some indication of whether they're serious or not.
I mean, there's already some substantial criticism of this from some who are saying that this is another way for the Iranians to play for time, and that in effect they're being rewarded for having flouted UN resolutions all these years. If they can take the uranium that they shouldn't have enriched to begin with, get it sent out and have it brought back enhanced and be able to use in a power plant.
Well, but think about what we're seeing here, and that is that the uranium that they have enriched would be used for a research reactor, which everybody knows they've been running, which they are entitled to run. But it would not be used for other purposes. So, yes, does it buy time? It buys time. It buys time for us to consider carefully their response, the sincerity of their actions. And, you know, we're moving simultaneously on the dual track. I mean, we always said we had a track of engagement, and we have begun that with this process. But we also said we would be working with like-minded nations and convincing others to stand ready with tougher sanctions were we not successful.
Can I ask you, Secretary Gates, has your opinion, your intelligence, has there anything changed regarding your assessment of whether they're trying to make a nuclear weapon?
My personal belief all along has been that they have the intention of developing nuclear weapons. Whether they have actually begun that program or not, it is hard to say whether they've begun a weaponization program. But I think, you know, the question is, can we, in a limited period of time, bring the Iranians to a conclusion that Iran is better off without nuclear weapons than with them, and not just in a security sense, but economically and in terms of their isolation in the international community, and so on. And because, I mean, my view is the only long-term solution to this problem at the end of the day is the Iranians themselves deciding having nuclear weapons is not in their interest. And if we can't convince them of that, then an array of other options are open. But our hope, my hope for ever since I took this job, has been that we could, through both carrots and sticks, persuade them of a smarter direction for Iran.
Isn't there are basically, I think, three policy options. Iran with some kind of nuclear capability, a nuclear program, but with very strict verification, sanctions to try to get them not to enrich, which so far has not have not worked, or the military option, which you yourself have cast doubts upon its efficacy. Isn't the real nub of the debate right now to figure out some kind of way of verifying and inspecting and being able to know if they plan to do something else with their uranium other than for peaceful purposes, as they claim?
Well, that is, of course, part of the change in calculation that Bob was referring to. We have a very clear objective of trying to persuade the Iranians that their calculation of their security interests and their economic interests should take into account the consequences of sanctions, for example, of increased defensive measures taken in Europe and in the Gulf region. You know, we just worked through this missile defense decision, and, you know, clearly our new adaptive approach toward missile defense is aimed at protecting our NATO allies and most of Europe from a short or medium range Iranian missile. We have begun to talk with a lot of our other friends and allies about, you know, what they need to feel that they would be adequately protected. Now, this is not in any way to concede what Iran should do going forward, because some people say, when we talk defensive, that means that we're conceding that they're going to end up with a weapon. No, not at all. We are trying to influence the calculation and the decision as to whether or not they should move toward weaponization.
Some people have said in so many words that I'm kind of woolly-headed in believing that the Iranians would see not having nuclear weapons as more in their security interest than not. But the question is, would the Iranians look at that way if there were proliferation of nuclear weapons in the Middle East, if some of their neighbors in the Middle East, beyond those that now have them, would develop nuclear weapons? Is that in their interest?